Action.
Action. What's up? What's up? Hey, you got that drink? You got that drink there? Oh, look at this, my man. Drinking
the
that
throwback.
The throwback. OE. OE. It's 40 night here with my essay. We might be in quarantine, but we can still have our beers together on FaceTime.
I don't know that I've had one of these since I was probably 18 or 19 years old.
Really? That young? When? Ooh, what's it taste like?
It's like shit.
Oh, man.
So what I was going to tell you is I went to the liquor store and I was like, yo, you guys got 40s of OE? He's like, yeah, down there at the bottom. And I go and grab this shit. This shit's fucking plastic.
No, it's not, dude. It's not glass.
I went there for the nostalgia. I was like, let me get a fucking 40 of OE. This is a 42 ounce of OE in a plastic bottle. Throwback. You told me you wanted me to get a 40 and this is what I came with.
Yeah, man.
They,
hey.
You know, they also had Steel Reserve.
Did they?
And that
really
was also in a plastic bottle.
Yeah, I wonder why. I wonder if because, like, I don't know if the homeless or bums, you know, break glass on the sidewalk too much.
This is the cheapest shit you can get. And they're just like, fucking poor people don't care about this. It's
yeah.
Fucked up, huh?
It might even be cheaper to make. You know what I mean? So they can afford it. I don't know, man. I'm drinking the chelada right here, baby.
Damn, you are killing it. What is that? Is that tomato beer?
Yeah, it's like a Moraldo. Moraldo, whatever the hell you call it. See, in Corona, dog, that's for damn sure. I'm drinking Mexican beer. You're drinking that black.
Hey, this is what we used to drink when I was like 18 or 19 in Pueblo.
Really? Yeah.
Pueblo West with my buddies.
I never drank that stuff. I mean, I've had
You've
it.
You've never had a fucking 40?
Oh, yeah.
Edward 40 hands?
Dude, it tastes like crap. I didn't like it. It's like malt liquor, man. It's just not good.
Malt liquor.
Yeah, not for me.
Yeah, it's funny.
So anyways, guys, hey, this is another episode of GU Unfiltered, and today I got my man, Frank the Tank, also known as AKA Tort Life. He's the man that man, how long have I known you now, Frank?
I don't know, 5-6 years maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I remember you just being a little guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
just a little
guy.
Yeah. And then when you start working out with daddy, you gotten big now and you got those skills.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think I met you at the archery range or something like that.
Yeah. I think it was, probably about 6 years now I think I've known you. And it's been cool, man. Like, honestly, I would come into the shop just to hang out with you, right? Like, I would just come and kick it with you there for a minute just because I think Aaron was too busy hanging out with Gritty. I mean, at the time, because that's when they were, you know, doing everything together, hunting and everything. And then I was like this.
You're like, that dude looks brown. I should hang out with him.
Oh man, I was definitely just like, bye, Felicia. Bye, Felicia. I was like, bye, Felicia. But anyways, but yeah.
You got sound bites?
Oh, I got it all, brother. I got it all. I was like, oh, not that. Not that. I don't want that.
Damn, this is a high-tech show.
Oh, this man, this is a real deal brought to you by Cafaro. when I had Aaron on the show, the first one, and we were drinking together, and he was like, man, this thing is sweet, right? I mean, I literally had everything rolling great for it. The only down part of it is we got way too drunk. I did anyways. I was drinking whiskey. Dude, I had F-bomb this, F-bomb that. And honestly, I probably will wait to air that podcast because out the get-go, I just cannot do it yet. You know what I mean?
You think you're going to censor it maybe?
No, it's because it's unfiltered. You know what I mean? I just don't want to. I don't want to do it right out the gate. You know what I mean? I just can't do it. But anyways, Frank, talk to us. I mean, so you guys been shut off of work now? Well, tell us a little bit. Tell the people what's your role at Cafaro right now?
Yeah, I don't necessarily have an official job title, I guess. I do a little bit of everything, bounce back and forth between departments. I guess if I had one title, it'd probably be somewhere between heading up customer service and then pro staff and military sales. We have a super solid crew of customer service people. Anders, he's actually the manager of customer service. Alex is in customer service. And then Kaylee, she does customer service and the warranty department. So I guess I'd kind of be the head of that department. But, we have a really solid crew there. And then sometimes I'll bounce in and out of the shipping department, help out with orders. We've been doing a lot of that, actually. We're trying to cut down on the lead time. You know, we've historically at Kafaro, we've had a long lead time. I think my first Kafaro purchase a long time ago, I bought a frame. It was like a 2 or 3 month lead time. So,
oh, really?
We've come a long way, but we've come a long way. You know, right now before all this madness started, I think we were closer to 2 weeks, and I'd really like us to reach our full potential, which I think we can eventually ship next day. So we're really pushing towards that. I think that'll be huge for us. And really, it's a team effort. So myself, Aaron, and Dana get a lot of attention or credit for a lot of the stuff that happens at Kafaro. But I think we have somewhere around 30 to 35 employees there. So it's definitely a team effort. The company has grown a lot since I started there. And I would say that definitely has a lot to do with the hard work Aaron's put in on all the adventures he's been in and the marketing that strategies he's had. So I think if you guys don't know about Kafaro, Aaron's the CEO, and you know, he kind of started off as maybe like a sales rep or something like that, right, and kind of built his way up to running the company. So I think he's had a pretty good vision for the company and built it up really well. So, I've seen since I've started that the company's grown significantly, and I think we have a long way to go to reach our full potential, but we have a solid crew of people there that,
honestly,
behind the scenes.
Yeah. I mean, and honestly, Aaron Snyder, I'm live on the IG right now, and he said, "What's up, sir?" You know, I think, I honestly think Aaron probably misses you. Can you guys hear me on the IG? I put the headphones on. Give me a thumbs up if you guys can hear, you know, Aaron wants to know what the fuck is Frank doing. Hold your beer up, Frank.
I'm drinking an OE is what I'm doing. He's, man.
Look at that, Aaron. It's an Old English 40. That's my dog from Pueblo.
Malt liquor.
Right on. So you guys can all hear me.
In a plastic bottle.
Good. That's dope. The other thing as I want to talk to you about is, talk to us. How did you get the nickname as, Tort Life?
So when I first moved up here, I didn't really know very many people. I had a few friends from Pueblo that lived up here, but Aaron had invited me on a 3D shoot up in Conifer, I think it was. And you know, he had a few of his buddies there, and somebody that's become a friend of mine as well is Cody Covey. So Cody Covey was there. I think you know him. We ended up splitting up in groups, and I ended up shooting with Cody and his friends, and it was an all day shoot. And I was like, well, shit, man, I think I'm going to bring some snacks. So I ended up bringing a pack of tortillas, a can of Spam, and some other small snacks. And, those guys didn't bring any food at all. So we were like hanging out midday between, courses, and I bust out this pack of tortillas, and Cody says, "Damn, dude, you're just living that tort life."
Yeah, so they just kind of just stuck there.
Yeah.
Just stuck there.
So I'm a big fan of Spam and tortillas, especially when I'm out in the woods and hunting. But I haven't eaten that stuff in a little bit, but it's kind of nice to bust out here and there.
Tell me, I don't know, I'm trying to get this situated here, because there's a lot of people asking, "What's up, Pueblo?" Like, there's people chiming in on this thing. So it's kind of cool. Frank is a Mexican. I don't know, man. He's drinking a malt liquor. He might be part black. I don't know.
Schlitz malt liquor.
I don't know. Anyways, The other thing is, what do you got going on this hunt this fall, man? Are you guys doing any spring bear hunting, like going down to Jeff's this year? I mean, I know everything's kind of like chaos right now.
So I had, it's a little bit up in the air right now. So I had planned on going to Idaho with my buddy Jordan Cower. One of the coolest things about working with Kapar is meeting all sorts of people all over the country, you know, like-minded people, people that enjoy backcountry hunting or, you know, just hunting in general. So I'd met Jordan several years ago and, you know, we kind of just hit it off and I hunt with him a couple times a year if I can. And he's been awesome. So I was planning on going to Idaho to hunt, but it sounds like they shut off National Forest to, or they've restricted it to, if you live in that county, you can only access it, is what he said.
Oh,
so
really?
If you live in a county that doesn't have National Forest, you can't access National Forest. So it's a little bit up in the air right now. I had planned on going on a black bear hunt up there. I think we weren't able to go to Jeff this year. So, you know, that was kind of a bummer, but it is what it is. Then, you know, I have my normal Colorado stuff. So I'm going to be doing archery, antelope, and mule deer, and then probably rifle, elk, and bear.
Yeah, you're always busy. I mean, how many hunts do you do with Aaron?
Usually a couple a year. And then, you know, if you get the tag, sometimes I get lucky enough to tag along. So that's a lot of fun. That hunt last year that we got to go on, all of us with his goat, that was an awesome experience.
And with the one you guys went to Alaska, right?
Yeah. So, in addition to meeting, you know, all these cool people that I get to meet traveling around the country, we have great opportunities and I'm very thankful for being able to go on these hunts. You know, I don't think I'd ever be able to go to Alaska anytime soon, but I was lucky enough to be able to go last year on an archery goat hunt. And it wasn't like anything I've ever done before, so it was just unreal.
Well, not to change gears, but tell everybody, like, what did you do before you were the man at Kafaro?
So, I had a short stint at college after high school. Did a lot more partying than I did schooling.
Were you were you a shit ass or what? What were you? What kind of kid were you?
I liked to party.
You did?
I had good grades in school. I got into CU Boulder out of high school, which probably was because my sister graduated from there. So, you know, you're more likely to get accepted.
Yeah.
You're more likely to get accepted into college if you have a sibling that goes there. So got into CU Boulder, had decent grades, but, you know, honestly, I just wanted to get out away from home and I wanted to live life and party. So it didn't last very long. Ended up going back home, went to community college for a little bit. And then,
And what'd you do? Just take basics there? Like just, you know, like regular classes there?
Yeah. Yeah. Like your standard prereq.
Were you just there to check out the chicks at the time? Cause that's what I did.
You're not going to see much talent at community college.
My school was probably, you know, I went to Mid Plains community college, so it was probably just like yours. And man, it was like this.
What do we get? Everything.
Yeah, so I mean, I get it. Like, I partied with all the volleyball girls, basketball girls, and dude, I went to school for welding, and they were like, "What is this dude doing?" Like, you know, I don't know. I probably should have got a doctor's degree by the time I left that community college. You know what I mean? Because I was there for a minute.
Yeah, looking back, I mean, it wasn't the smartest thing for me to kind of be in party mode out of high school and then going straight to a party college. I wasn't serious about it. And it's just expensive, man. I just barely paid off my student loans. Literally, I just paid off my student loans a few months ago.
Right.
From back then.
I know.
So it was a dumb decision, string of decisions for me. But
I know.
Basically from there, my dad was an electrician.
Yep.
So he worked for an electrical company and actually got me on as an apprentice for about a year. And I liked work. It was good stuff. I knew it wasn't something that I wanted to make a career out of, but this was right around the time of that recession. And I think that company had somewhere around 150 people, and they ended up with like 3 after the recession. So everybody lost their jobs, and I was kind of like, I did a couple of odd jobs here and there, and then I did customer service for Sprint cell phones.
Oh, really? You were
for a few years, yeah.
Really? Ooh, yeah, I bet ladies, when they walked into Sprint, they were like, damn, I want to work with that guy over there, huh?
No, this was on the phone customer
service. Oh, you were phones? You're like a top mine? Oh, hell no.
I hear like every once in a while we'll have some interesting customer service experience at Cofaro, and I'm like, you know, dude, you haven't done customer service until you've talked to somebody that's pissed off about their cell phone.
Oh, I bet.
It doesn't understand billing.
Yeah, I bet. So,
I think, I definitely wasn't happy there. It was a job that I took because there wasn't a lot of options out there.
Right.
But I think I definitely gained a lot of knowledge and experience working there. So,
well, yeah.
Worked there for a little while.
Well, no, I was just going to say, working from Sprint and going to Cofaro, working with customer service there, probably 9-day difference.
Oh, dude. It was, yeah, completely different. So I worked there for a while, transferred over to kind of like a accounts payable department, accounting department for this company, CDW, they sell like computer parts. Did that for a little bit. And then, I've been hunting my whole life. And once I started bow hunting, I think I bow hunted for a year or two. And I always wanted to be able to go further and not have to walk back to the truck. So I just did all this research and I joined rockside.com.
Yep.
And I started doing more research. I see this company, Cofaro. I start following Aaron's stories. I was a subscriber to Eastman's. I see his articles in there. I'm like, this shit looks fucking awesome. I want to do this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I ordered a backpack, I think the first Cofaro pack I had was used off of Rockside. It was, a Gen 1 duplex frame. And then, I think it was right around when the Timberline bags came out.
Yep, so I have one of those.
So I grabbed one of those and I just started fully accumulating gear. Aaron's been pretty awesome about posting his phone number online since forever. So
yeah,
I was one of those guys that was always, which is crazy. So I was one of those guys that was always calling him, asking him questions, bugging him. He probably got sick of me, but, mm-hmm. I always had gear questions, And, that's kind of how I guess I got to know him, he kind of knew of me, just this fucking kid that wouldn't leave him alone and always had questions. So, one day at work, I just got tired of working there and I was just like, dude, I texted Aaron. I'm like, hey, are you guys hiring by chance? And he's like, I think we might have a spot for you. Come up next week and do an interview. And I was like, no fucking way. I can't believe this.
Man, I would have thought he would have been like, killing me,
Smalls. I'm sure.
No, he's good. Hey, real quick before we top this off. Hey, Primitive over Jeff wants to know what kind of chapsticks you using right now.
Oh my gosh, guys.
Yeah. Anyways, everybody wants to see you holding up your 040. Your 40. Hold it up there, Frank.
That's drinking OE. OE, people. Yeah,
he's drinking the malt liquor with me. All right, guys, I'm going to let you guys go. You guys want to follow it, check out GU Unfiltered. The rest, we'll have it all up, uploaded next week. Guys, thank you. Anyways, we're off live now off of the IG, but holy cow, people just, it's nuts. I don't even know why Aaron would ever ask me a question. I did that one time, and I was like, no, never again. Ever. I mean,
unless, I've ever gone live.
Oh man, it's crazy. It's cool because you interact with everybody, but dang, it's nuts. But so anyways, you went and did an interview at Cofaro, right?
Yeah, I didn't, I was.
So how many years have you been working there now?
I think I'm going on 5 or 6 years. So
okay, cool.
It's been a decent amount of time so far.
And
Patrick
working a lot there at the time?
Right when I started, I think he was coming in a couple days a week, just kind of doing a lot of tinkering really. So I think he was getting ready to retire right around when I started. I was a new guy. I just kind of kept my head down and did my work and didn't really try to bug too many people.
Right, right. Well, because I remember, shit, I don't even remember how long I've been working with Kafar now, 4 years now, 5 years. And I always remember seeing Patrick in there. I mean, Aaron took me right to him right away, and I met him and, you know, his daughters and everything. And, yeah, ever since then, I'm like, always, what's up, you know, to all of them, you know? So it's cool. Like, I like going back to talking to the people out in the shop that actually doing everything, you know what I mean? Like, those, like, I like talking to them because they're, you know, they're, I mean, everybody knows Aaron as Kafara, but there's a lot of great people that work in there. I mean, I love them all. I mean, they're fun. And I'm not saying that just because, you know, I get sponsored with partners and everything. No, man, they really are cool. Like, I can't believe what's the name? Sister got fucking Corona. The COVID-19, yeah, man, dude. That's crazy. I saw that on Facebook and I was like, no way. You know? So
yeah, that really makes it hit home. You've been hearing all this stuff going on for a couple months and you finally find out, you know, somebody that has a friend or a family member that has it. It seems to be getting pretty serious, man. But yeah, like I was saying earlier, you know, we have a really solid crew of people. There's some people that have worked there a really long time and putting a lot of effort into Kafaro, and I'm proud to be able to work with us, with everybody that works there. So
right,
yeah. We have a really great crew.
Well, and I know, like, me just, you know, going up to Aaron's house and shooting with him and bullshitting him now that we're neighbors, like, how much more he enjoys having you there as his right-hand man now, you know? Although there's sometimes you piss him off, I think. Which, it happens, right? I mean, I always tell Frank, I was like, how can you be mad at that little cute little face of yours? He's like, I know, okay. But God damn it. When you went and were on Rock Slide and you did all this and you called Aaron and you said, hey, do you have like a job there, an opening, whatever? And then you finally met Aaron. Has Aaron changed at all since the day you met him?
I don't
how
really
long
think...
was that window open until he like cracked a smile at you, or like, you know, how he always like, and then puts his head down, right, and laughs. Right, like he's not a very approachable person.
Yeah, I'd say at first, yeah, he's very intimidating. You know,
yeah.
At that time, he didn't have hair, so he always had his shaved head.
Yep,
kind of a stocky dude, a muscular guy. You know, kind of just an opposing figure. And and then you get to know him; he's like a little kid.
Yeah, he's good shit. He's good shit. So when was what was like hunting with him? What's like hunting with that guy? Because go ahead.
No, I think it's a good experience. You know, I don't know anybody that's taken more animals than him with any method of any weapon.
Well, I don't know anybody. Yeah. Not personally. I don't. I mean, I know there's some great hunters out there with rifles and stuff like that but what he's done with the recurve, let alone with the compound, you know what I mean? Like, real deal Holyfield, you know what I mean? And so like, it's just nuts. Like, people, like, so many people hit me up like, oh man, like, you're shooting next to him, like, dude. And then now that he gave me a trad bow and I start shooting with it, and I just have fun with it, right? It's just fun. But dude, I got all these motherfuckers hitting me up saying, hey man, what are you using, blah blah blah, like blah blah blah. And I'm like, dude, I don't know shit about this. I don't. You got to message him about it. It's his bow. He gave it to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, So, it has to be really cool. I mean, there's a lot of people probably jealous as heck of you. I mean,
what I always do, no matter, you know, who I'm hunting with, is I'm always trying to learn. You always got to go in learning something. And having the opportunity to hunt with somebody that's had so much experience throughout North America, I mean, it's awesome. I've been with him on quite a few hunts, and I think probably the most significant one for me is when he first started with the trad bow. He shot that one deer off of that boulder. It was like 3 feet above it. Like, it was a windy day. Just, you couldn't have asked for a better stock. It was I was sitting on a rock waiting for him to pop over this hill, and it was like 2 hours. And I'm like, damn, maybe he got lost. And then all of a sudden, he just pops up over it.
Like a ninja, and he works right?
his way. Dude, he worked his way into like 2 feet of this deer. It was probably, he was on top of this boulder, the deer's laying below it. It was probably like a, from the tip of the arrow to the deer, it was probably like 5-6 feet. And he just shot it. And it was unreal. I've never personally been that close to an animal while hunting. So seeing that, being able to witness it, that was cool, man. So yeah. And, you know, when I first started at Kifaru, I had just been archery hunting for a couple of years, or I think probably 3 or 4 years. Yeah, I think learning shooting with people like him, and then meeting Phil and the guys at No Limits Archery through Aaron, has really lessened or flattened out my learning curve on archery stuff. I still don't feel like I'm an expert by any means or overly proficient, but I think I've learned quite a bit from those guys. And I'm definitely grateful for it because, yeah, I mean, I've talked about it on the Kifaru cast before. You know, when I first got a bow, I got some kit bow from Cabela's with full length arrows, and it was a disaster. But yeah.
I think everybody has been there. You know, that started out for sure. It's straight up learning. I mean, I'm still learning all the time, and like I shoot with you and Aaron all the time, and like you're a very successful hunter. Like you are, you, I mean, I think what last year you filled every tag, didn't you?
I think the only tag I didn't fill last year was an archery doe antelope tag. I only got to hunt half a day.
Yeah, I think I remember that one. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, you suck.
But no, I've had a.
You're good.
I mean, dude. one of the best parts of working at a hunting company is you get a lot of opportunities to go hunting. So
yeah, but you put your time in, you practice. I mean, you shoot a lot. You do. Mm-hmm. You shoot a lot. You practice. I mean, and not only just archery though. I mean, you're a big rifle man, and you like hunting predators and stuff like that. I see and that I know. And like, why do you like doing that? Tell us a little bit about that. I mean, I like killing shit too, but I mean, as far as like the coyotes and stuff, like you like just the guns you use and how you call you Fox Pro it. What do you do?
Yeah, I think I got into coyote hunting, I don't know, probably I was like 18 or 19 years old. I think that was kind of right when, like Eichler and, I think his name's Les Johnson from Predator Quest. Those guys had their coyote hunting, their predator hunting TV shows. And I always thought that was so awesome, dude. Cause I can remember back when I was like a little kid with my dad, we were pheasant hunting. And walking through this field, and I was blown on this crow call. We had a crow call. I don't know why. And I was blown on this crow call, and we were walking through these fields, and all of a sudden, this coyote comes running out of the corn, and my dad shot it. And I was like, oh, shit, I just called in a coyote. And it was, like, the first time I ever, like, clicked with me, like, predator hunting's cool, but we didn't really do that growing up. And then these TV shows started, and I'm like, damn, that looks so fun. And the coolest thing about predator hunting is you can use whatever weapon you want. You know, if you want to keep the furs, you probably stick to a smaller caliber,
yeah.
But, you know, it's just fun. It's something to do in the winter after big game season ends. You get to use all these cool different calibers or rifles that you wouldn't normally use during big game hunting. You can hunt with an AR, you can hunt with a shotgun, you can hunt with your big game gun. So, you know, it's just another excuse to get out in the field. And I don't know, I always just get that little adrenaline rush when you see a coyote come running in, or if you get one sneaking up on you and it just pops up out of nowhere. It's just, it never gets old to me. So I do it a lot, man. I just went this weekend and got a couple. So.
What is your go-to call? I mean, what do you use? You have a mouth call? So, do you have a mouth call or do you Fox Pro it?
When I first started, I had this little wooden Lohmann call that my dad gave me as a rabbit call. I don't know what happened to it. I lost it since then. I still have that same crow call, though, which is funny. I'll have to grab it when I did and post it online. But, so I started off with hand calls. I used them for a lot of years. I think my go-to for a long time were those Predator Quest calls.
Yeah.
Which was the Ruffy Dog and the Ruffy Dog Jr. Those have been awesome for me. A few years ago, I picked up a Fox Pro Shockwave, I think it was called. Actually, it's the Fox Pro Fusion. That was pretty awesome, but, you know, predator hunting seems like it gotten pretty popular, and a lot of people picked up the Foxtrot. I personally think that coyotes get smarter, keen to the same calls all the time, so you can be more unique with a hand call. So I've switched back to hand calls, and right now I would say my favorite calls are the hand calls from Foxtrot. So I think it's called the 4K9, and then I'd have to look up the other one, but they come in a 3-pack, and two of the three are actually really good calls, and you can make some pretty unique sounds with them. So anything from a nice jackrabbit or rabbit distress to bird calls, all kinds of stuff. So I went back to the hand calls.
Really? I mean, I always used a Fox Pro, and I don't even know which one it was, but I got it for Christmas one year, and I always used a rabbit in distress, dude. That was my go-to one. And
that's the thing with predator hunting. So you can, there's not necessarily a predator season because you can hunt coyotes year-round, usually you start around the end of big game season, November-ish, and then it goes all the way into the spring. So, when you first start during the season, you use these rabbit calls and they start coming in, but, they get smart to that stuff, so you have to start switching it up. So you can use anything from, like, a pup distress call, a fawn distress. You can go to challenge howls, locator howls, bird distress calls. There's all kinds of different options. So you definitely have to be diverse in your calling because they do get smart. So that's kind of the difference from being successful in the early season to the late season.
Really? So what is what's the closest that you shot one coming in? I mean, do you let them usually come
what's
right on
top? What's the closest?
Yeah.
I like to. Yeah, I would say most of them are within 100 yards. I've shotgunned quite a few really, really close. We've shot them right on top. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we've shot quite a few. I've had them. I'd say probably one of the coolest things that I've ever had happen is last year I hunt with my buddy Dan Whittington. Aaron knows him as well. He's a friend of both of ours. He lives in Pueblo, and we've had him on the podcast before. We were hunting last year, and we're sitting probably 7 yards from each other, and we had a coyote come in from behind us and run right between us. And I think that one actually got away because you're like, what the fuck?
Because it came right on top of you. Yeah.
Oh, dude. So, yeah, I mean, it's fun. It's the funniest thing about predator hunting is you can be hunting out in the wide open prairie and you can have a coyote come in on you and be right on top of you and you not even know it.
I know that.
Yeah, I mean, it's an addiction. And I know a lot of people don't understand it, but, to each their own. It's fun, man. I love it. And I can't get enough of it.
I always like looking at your pictures when you post them on IG, and like, you're not a big poster, but when you do post, it's something pretty fucking legit and it's a great picture. Like what kind of camera setup do you have?
That's another thing I've learned a lot from Aaron, and that is, I mean, it's that photography is a whole nother animal, man. I started off with, his old camera, which he gave to Nate. Nate's our IT guy. And then I got that from Nate. It was an Olympus OEM-1 or something like that.
Yeah, you shoot Olympus, now, don't you?
I used to, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I started with. But now I have a Sony a7 R3. And primarily, I've just used a 35mm and an 18mm lens. Since I've started. So, there's way better people at photography than me. I always tell my friends when they ask, like Taylor and Tomas, they work out with us at Genesis. And for me with photography, it's always been guess and check. I've watched the how-to videos and, the NAF reps there. If you know who those people are, they have I have it saved on my computer, a stunning digital photography basics book that I've read. But for me, I always have to do it to learn it.
Yeah.
So I'm always, if I take a photo when I think it's good, I've probably taken like 10 of the same photos, different settings.
Yeah. I take like 30 and I get one out of something. I'm like, all right, that's cool. Yeah.
But that's the thing. That's for me and probably for a lot of people, it's just repetition. You gotta figure out what works for you and what you like out of the photography and what looks good and what you think looks good. And it's almost basically an art, and your own individual style. And I think you kind of learn and then you kind of figure out what you like and what what pictures look good to you.
Absolutely. I mean, like every person that I've seen that takes photos, right? And
is that a Lukeism? Yeah, what do they call that?
No, that's just one? That's just me being dumb. Everybody has their own like cup of tea. You know what I mean? Like you got your way you do things. Aaron has the way he does the thing. Fred has his way he does his deal. You know what I mean? Like everybody has their own cup of tea, and it's all cool. They're like I love them all. Like honestly, and there's guys that I know that are professional photographers, and I love what they do, and I'm like, man, why don't they do it more like this guy? But it's what I like, you know, and what's what they like, and I don't know. It's cool, man. I just enjoy doing it all. I mean, I'm no Aaron Snyder or freaking, you know, no professional, but I like taking them. I definitely like taking photos. I like taking photos way more than I do like video clips and shit like that. That's for sure.
Yeah, video is a whole different animal. We we've dabbled. We've tried to film hunts, and
it's hard, dude.
It's difficult, especially self filming, and then also even trying to film other people on hunts. You know, it's like varsity level photography.
Yeah, it's definitely it's different, dude. And like even having a guy with you filming with you, it's just way different. I mean, believe me, I know the fucking headaches of that whole deal, but it's cool when you get something cool on camera. Like our goat hunt with Aaron. That shit was cool as hell. Way cool. Yeah. So not to change gears, but out of photography, this is something that I ask all my guests, and I've asked pretty much, I don't know, this is probably, I don't know, my fourth, fifth podcast now. And nobody's heard of these yet, but they will eventually hear them because I haven't launched it yet. But what is probably the most craziest shit you've seen hunting while you've been out there? I mean, if it's been, you know, predator calling or in the backcountry with Aaron or what? Because right now, Aaron has the cream of the crop, bro. He fucking told a fucked up story that I'm still like, really?
Damn, that's tough, man.
And it doesn't have to be too crazy, but I mean, I know you probably seen some weird shit, you know? Maybe, yeah, I don't know. What do you think? Tell me.
I've seen a few things, nothing too crazy. One time I was out predator hunting, and I came around a bend, and there were two fucking Apache helicopters parked in the middle of the prairie.
Oh, that's cool as fuck.
I was like, what the fuck are they doing there? And when we drove down the road, they fucking whoop and took off. They're like, probably shouldn't have been there.
Oh, that's sweet, dude.
I think last year, one thing that was super cool, and I posted this on my story before, my buddy Dan and I, we were predator hunting, and on a fence post, there was a hawk a barbed wire fence. And its claw was still on the fence, and its leg all the way up to the elbow. It was fucking stuck there. And what we guessed happened was some lightning had struck the ground or struck the fence, and it just fucking zapped that bird, and it just left its leg hanging there. So that was cool.
Oh, wow. You take a picture?
I did, yeah.
I want
to
see it.
A couple seasons ago, I saw a golden eagle try to swoop a fawn up in the high country.
Really?
Yeah. So it tried to swoop the fawn, and then the doe was with the fawn, and it was like trying to chase the eagle off. So that was pretty cool. One time I was hunting with my dad, and we were out in the middle of nowhere, and some old guy was fucking stuck in his truck in a rut. Super old, dude. I'm talking like 90 years old.
Shouldn't even been driving.
No. Shouldn't have been cutting wood. He was cutting wood with a chainsaw at a full truck of wood, and he was stuck. He's been stuck for a day and a half out there. No cell phone.
Oh, my God.
And we came across him, and we were able to pull his truck out. But, I don't know. I mean, there's probably a bunch of things I've seen that I've forgotten. But yeah.
Well, fuck, I only asked
probably,
for one.
Probably nothing too crazy.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you got to see some shit. Well, I'm telling you, man, like it's being out there, you do definitely see some weird shit happen, whether it's cool with, you know, whether it's with wildlife or with other hunters or at, you know, camp. I definitely got a few stories. And usually it goes back to me. Like, I'm the one that fucks things up. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. It's crazy. But it's that time now. Frank, it's that time where we enter my domain now. We're gonna shift gears into MMA. And, you know, now that I know, you know, you've been training a little bit with me, right? How long have we been training now? Well, before with the shutdown with my gym and the coronavirus, how long have we been training now?
I think somewhere around December, January time frame.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, it was right around, right before Christmas, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was probably right before Christmas. So, and it was funny because I had a shitload of questions coming on the IG saying, hey, Frank, what's up with the socks? What's up with the socks? And I was like, he got shoes. Leave him alone, right? And so anyways, but are you enjoying training, mixed martial arts, boxing, kickboxing? And now we started doing jiu-jitsu before the shutdown.
Yeah, man, it's that's a whole different ball game for me. I've never done anything like that. I've always been interested, and it's addicting, really. I mean, we do it usually 2 times a week, and I almost want to do it every day. It's so much fun.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, though, it's your coach, though. Your coach is a G, huh?
No, man. I mean, yeah, you've taught us a lot in a short period of time, and it's I mean, you're a great coach. It's fun to go to. You know, I'm sure there's some coaches that are just sticklers, but you make it fun, and it's just like drinking from a fire hose.
You're
teaching us so many things, and it's fun, man. I think the coolest thing about boxing and the MMA and the wrestling stuff is definitely teaches you humility. You might walk into a gym and feel like you're a badass, but you can get shut up pretty fucking quick.
Right.
And, I think I've talked some a little shit going in, just fucking around, because I like to fucking rile you up a little bit. And I think one day after you taught us, you're like, all right, come on. You had me wrestling and you just beat the shit out of me and then punched me in the face like 10 times and gave me a bloody nose.
Yeah, it's fun. I like playing with you, though. It's good. Like, if I didn't do that, it's because I didn't like you. You know what I mean? So, real quick, Frank, you watch MMA and we've talked, and like, you're an old school watcher. Tito Ortiz has been your dude that you liked, right? So, here we go. Here's the question. You got to fight one, party with one, and hunt with one. Okay? Tito Ortiz, Forrest Griffin, Anderson Silva. Okay? Fight, party, and hunt with one. What's up? What's up? What you got?
It doesn't matter who I'm fighting. They're going to fucking kill me in about one punch. I don't think anybody wants to ever fucking fight Anderson Silva. That guy was
He's a G. He's definitely a G.
Yeah, I remember watching him in that fight when he broke his leg, and that was
Was crazy, right? Crazy.
It was the weirdest thing was the amount of adrenaline that was going through his body that he didn't even know was broken until he stepped back on it.
Right.
Unreal. What was it? Party with one and hunt with one? Chuck Liddell would be cool to party with.
Hang on. Damn, dog, that old eagle is just kicking in. Chuck Liddell.
Well, fuck, I don't know these guys personally. I've always
Tito Ortiz.
Yeah.
Okay. What would you do with Tito Ortiz? Party?
I think he'd be cool to hunt with.
All right, cool. Yeah, the bad boy. All right. Forrest Griffin.
Party? Oh, Forrest Griffin.
Yeah, Forrest Griffin.
Yeah, he probably parties.
Yeah, he definitely party. He would definitely be fun to party. And Silva.
I gotta say, that fight with him and Silva, that was like the prime of Silva, wasn't it? When he fought Forrest Griffin.
Yeah, and the main one that Forrest Griffin was known for was when he fought that other dude from The Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Oh shit! What the hell was that guy's name? He runs a gym in Vegas too. Oh man,
Bonner or something.
Yeah, Bonner, Stephen Bonner. There you go. Good job. Yeah, you know what's up, Frankie. Yeah, dude, that fight was crazy.
That was like that for me at least. I mean, I know MMA and like UFC have been around forever because I remember like in the 8th grade, my buddy Caleb from Pueblo West, he had all these tapes and it was like Hoist Gracie.
Yeah.
And it was like Tank Abbott or somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
Back when they were bare fist.
Bare knuckles.
So we would
yeah.
always watch that. Yeah. We fucking would watch that shit and we loved it. And then the Ultimate Fighter came along, and that was kind of like, for me when I was in high school, that was like the fucking ultimate of MMA. So I used to watch that shit all the time, man.
Yeah, it was, that was definitely, like, I think after like Ultimate Fighter, I don't know, 7, 6, I quit watching it. And then we got called up with Gaethje, Team Gaethje, to be a coach on the Ultimate Fighter. I was like, damn, they're still doing this shit. You know what I mean? I knew they were still doing it, but then I became one of the coaches on them. And it was cool because, well, shit, I remember as a fighter, I remember trying out for like season 3. And it was like a bunch of guys like me, Donald Cerrone, Alvin Robinson. I mean, there was a bunch of G's in there and we all got cut. Like we made it all the way up to the finals, right? We made it all the way up to the finals. And then that's like when Spike TV ran it, you know, and they were like,
yeah,
made it to the, like, I don't know, pretty much what you call the casting couch, you know, besides the whole thing. And they were like, Spike would interview us and be like, no, I don't think you got what it has to be on the show. And we were like, I was like, what? What do you mean? We're good enough.
You're like, damn, I'm a Brown Martin Lawrence.
Yeah, I know. Little did they know, right? Like, look at me now, bitches. So I was like, literally good enough to fight, right? Obviously, look at Cowboy. He was good enough to fight. Alvin Robinson was good enough to fight. He fought in the UFC. And we all got cut. We're like, what the fuck, man? We were like, man, screw the UFC. I'm going overseas fighting in Japan, over in Pride, whatever, man. I was done with them, right? Like, I was so pissed off. Like, because, like, some of the guys that they picked over us, dude, I literally fucked them up, right? And they cut us, and we're like, whatever. And then, like, probably 3 weeks to a month later, we get a call from the UFC saying, hey, you want a contract? And I was like, I love the UFC. You know what I mean? I have to stay in the house for 6 weeks.
I no like team. Money. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. And it was crazy because I was like, I went from hating the UFC to loving them like overnight. I was like, I love the UFC. Yeah, let's do this. So, yeah, it was crazy. But I don't know. What do you enjoy the most, Frank? Boxing, kickboxing, jiu-jitsu? I mean, what do you like the workouts? What do you like? I mean, because I know I like them all. I mean, there's obviously things that I like more than others, but I really do. I enjoy showing you guys everything, but what's your cup of tea?
Well, I'd say we've done boxing the most, and then we just started doing the kickboxing and wrestling and jiu-jitsu and stuff. And, yeah, man. I mean, it's hard to pick. It was a lot of fun the last couple times we've been in there and did a little jiu-jitsu to learn new stuff. It's just so diverse with the amount of things you can learn. And we only went over a handful of things, and it was like, whoa, I didn't know you could do this type of shit.
Yeah, it's just crazy, right?
I think one of the coolest things about jiu-jitsu is you don't have to be, and like dudes like Joe Rogan and shit talks about this all the time. You don't have to be the strongest guy. You don't have to be the biggest guy. It's like a chess match. And like you were saying, you wait for that right moment to make your move and stuff like that. You might think something's significant and it's not, and then you catch somebody in fucking whatever arm bar or something. So it's cool. Yeah, I think the strategy of jiu-jitsu was fun, but I also like just boxing it out. So it's cool because, you know, I think me and my buddy Taylor and Tomas that you're also coaching, we're all pretty close on athleticism and strength and stuff like that. So it's fun to fight with those guys and box and stuff and test your skills against them. And you know, those guys have been doing great as well. And it's like a friendly competition between all of us, and you know, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's honestly what I enjoy about it was you guys all showed up. I mean, I think Tomas had a little bit of boxing in him, right? He did it back in the day. And so it was like a clean canvas. You know what I mean? Like, and you guys just started from this to now where you're at. Like, I put you guys, I started letting you guys spar a little bit, you know, a little one for one, two for two thing, you know, get a little contact. And I just, I honestly, like, right before the shutdown with this whole virus thing, like, you guys were at a point where I was like, dude, you guys are really, really getting good. Like, I, like, it's funny because there was, like, probably a month, 2 months, it was such a learning curve, like, where, and it's like anything, right? Like, picking up a bow, picking up anything, right? I don't give a shit if you're long-range hunting or rifle, you know, shooting. It's a learning curve. And you guys were at that learning curve. And I started thinking, I was like, man, I don't know.
You're
man.
Probably thinking, no wonder this motherfucker got his ass beat downtown.
I know. I was like, honestly, like, yeah, you definitely got, you got,
You got knocked the fuck out!
oh, shit.
Yeah. That's the funny thing about fighting. You feel confident. You're like, yeah, I think I could defend myself. And, yeah, me and my buddies were downtown on Halloween, I don't know, probably three years ago or so. And, you know, we were fucked up, man. We were drinking a lot. And I'm trying to get my buddies back to the fucking light rail. I'm like, let's get on the light rail, go back to my crib. We're good. And we're like one block from fucking Union Station. And my buddy is just hammered. And it goes up. And it was just us three. It was me, my buddy Zach, my buddy Clint. We go up. He walks up to this group of like seven. It was either five or seven dudes. I can't remember. And he says, "You little bitches won't do shit."
Oh.
And some dude just knocks him the fuck out instantly. And I'm like, oh, fuck. We are fucked. I'm like trying to fucking get my buddies to go. So I'm like, I don't know, 10, 15 yards ahead of them. And then my buddy Clint, he's just walking. So he's way behind. That's his brother. It's his little brother, Zach. And we kind of converge on this group of guys at the same time. And Quint's like, what the fuck did you do to my brother? I just remember swinging at this dude. And I hit him with my fucking forearm because I'm drunk.
Yeah.
It was like the most, yeah. It was like the biggest, weirdest haymaker. And I hit this dude and he fucking fell. And then Quint clocked a guy. And then we just got overtaken. And I remember getting punched in the back of the head and then kicked in the eye. I had this huge black eye. And ever since then, you're like, you need to come in and train.
Yep. It was like, how long ago was that? 2 years ago?
Two or three years ago. Yeah. It was
a long time ago.
It was a good ass beating. It was funny because at that time, my buddy Zach, he had smoked cigarettes. He didn't smoke anymore. But I remember after it all ended, you know, I ended up in a fucking alleyway. I like fucking was like knocked out a little bit. And I called him and we linked back up. And my buddy Zach, he got this gas from his nose.
Yeah, you phoned a friend.
He got this gash from his nose to his lip. And I remember we were standing at Union Station because the light rail had shut off by that time, and we were waiting for a taxi. And I remember him doing this, smoking a cigarette and licking his lip. He's like, "What's wrong with my lip?" I'm like, "Dude, you don't want to fucking know." It was like huge gas in his lip. So
just split open.
So we got this taxi, and this taxi driver's like, what the fuck happened to you? Because I got this huge bloody eyeball.
Yeah.
My buddy Quint, he's bleeding from his ear, and then Zach has this huge
oh,
I'm like, what
man.
Does it look like happened? We got our asses beat, so we had to go to over here by my house. We go to this hospital. We go to this hospital, St. Anthony's Hospital, so Zach could get stitches in his lip.
Yep.
He dropped us off at the hospital, and it was that next morning was a rough one waking up with. I couldn't even open my eye.
Yeah, big old black guy.
Had that fucking, oh, dude. And yeah, it was a rough fucking next couple of days.
That's funny.
Since then, you're like, yeah, you need to come in and train.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I don't care. It's like, every once in a while, a guy needs to get his ass whooped, right? But when you're drunk, it's way worse. Yeah. Right, like you just don't know what the hell just happened, right? Like your timing's off, everything. I mean, just think, if you knew what you knew now back then, like, you would probably be all right. But being even drunk, who knows, right? It's just weird. I mean, because I fought drunk and I fought sober, and it's a 9-day difference.
Yeah, it was definitely a lesson learned, and I think one of the biggest things you can learn in fighting is to humility, and that was a definite lesson in humility and learning that you might think like you might be a badass, but there's always someone bigger, better than you.
Oh, for sure, for sure. I mean, look at me. Like, you know, I fought professionally for 14 years, and I've done got my ass whooped in some fights. Well, not whooped, but beat. But I always got paid for those fights. You know what I mean? I always got paid for those fights. And, like, for me, like, I'm telling you, man, like, fuck, dude. I don't know, man. For me to get beat up in the streets, I must be really fucked up, or I fucked up and I fought a Justin Gaethje. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. For me to get fucked up in the streets, I mean, you got to be motherfucking Hercules. Hercules, Hercules, right? I don't know.
Speaking of that, I think we've talked about this on the Kafaro cast before, but when we went to Montana, I went with you and Drew and Skinny Cody and Justin Salas and Ian Berg, and we went to the TAC Challenge in Bozeman for a big guy. And, and man, I hadn't met these dudes. I hadn't met anybody. I just knew you. And you invited me to go. I'm like, fuck it. It'd be fun to go up there. And we road tripped up there. And I did not know what I was fucking getting myself into. And people that don't know, these dudes are all fighters. And you guys like an alcoholic beverage here and there. So after one of the nights of shooting, we went to the bar. And it was fucking dead, dude. There was no one in the bar.
No one in that bitch, right? But us.
Nobody. And I'm fucking tired. I don't fucking drink very often. I had like two beers and I'm like fucking with my head down on the table ready to go. And all of a sudden in fucking Big Sky, Montana, the goddamn rodeo gets out and the fucking bar fills up with cowboys like they were Agent Smith from The Matrix.
Dude, it was crazy. And, it was like wall to wall, like just fucking people everywhere.
Packed. And, I think Drew and Berg. No, I think Berg was at the bar. Everybody else was sitting at the table. I just remember some underage kid was fucking smoking a cigarette at the bar, and the bartender said, "Get the fuck out of here." And that kid was like, "Fuck you." And then he grabbed his drink and threw it at the bartender, and a piece of ice hit Drew in the back.
And hit me. It hit me too.
And you. And Drew fucking lost his mind, and he wanted to fucking fight everybody. And, The lead cowboy, I don't know how it works in rodeo, but the lead cowboy came up to him and was trying to calm him down. And then Drew was like, "You know what? We'll fucking fight anybody in here. He's in the UFC. He's in the UFC. And he points at me. He's at the UFC. I'm like, "Oh, shit."
Yeah, dude. And there was like, what, fucking 20, 30 of those motherfuckers, though.
Dude, I swear, when I tell this story to my friends, I'm like, it was literally like The Matrix 2 when all the Agent Smiths run into the courtyard and they just keep coming. That's what it was like when the fucking cowboys were rolling into fight.
Well, remember Salas was in the bathroom outside, and he comes in. He's like, "Man, there's about to be a fucking rumble outside. There's somebody about to get fucked up." And we're like, "Yeah, get ready, motherfucker, because it's going to be us."
Yeah, all I remember after that was you saying, "Here are my keys. Watch this." And I was like, "Oh, no!"
I said, "Here's my keys and phones, and you might want to record this."
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So fucking. And I was like, "Damn, this shit's fucking crazy." I didn't know what to do. I mean, I was fucking having a fight experience like that, and cooler heads prevailed.
Yeah, it was cool. It didn't happen. We go outside, and they were like, "Hey, man, we want to train UFC and shit." We're like, "Get the fuck out of here, you fucking little pussies." Like, it was, I mean, don't get me wrong. It would have been an epic night. And you know how I like to say epical? That shit would have been epical. Like, it wouldn't have been epical if we would have went to jail. Hell no, which I know I wouldn't.
That fucking bar was right across the street from the police department, too.
I know, dude.
Everybody would have been in jail.
Yeah, we would have been fucked. But
I think the funniest thing from that night is we were staying in that campground, and everyone, to get back to the campground, I'm fucking tired as fuck. And I remember everyone's adrenaline was just pumped, and I just remember Justin Salas saying, "I was about to bite that motherfucker in the jugular and rip it out."
Right? Like, there's no punching. Justin, yeah, dude. Justin's a cool fucking dude. He's like, I'm about to bite motherfuckers. And we all look at him like, oh, shit. Yeah, like, dude. Damn. It was crazy. But the other thing is, on the show, you know, we do a lot of questions coming in on my guest and stuff like that. So you're in the hot seat, right?
Yeah.
All right. Yep. My question is, if you had to fight Aaron, who's going to win? Go.
I would say Aaron would probably win pretty easily.
Fuck, dude. Like, you got to get back.
Wasn't he like a...
Yeah, he was. He was. He trained. Sure he was like he was definitely tough. He was a
champion wrestler and all that stuff. Well, and he wrestled MMA. I'm new to this stuff.
Hey, honestly, man, I seen him. I don't know, a couple weeks ago, when we were up there, he called me up to fucking dig him out of the freaking snow and shit. And I grabbed him to wrestle with him, and that motherfucker is solid, dude. He is solid. Like he is fucking solid right now. And I started thinking, I was like, oh shit, I gotta do some technique here. You know what I mean? I was like, oh shit, I gotta stop. I was like, I'm just playing, bud. You know what I mean? 6 feet, 6 feet. Corona.
Yeah. Corona. Coronavirus. Shit is real.
Right. Tell us real quick. Are those real teeth? Are those your white pearlies? Are they real good? Are those your real teeth?
My teeth are real, yeah. I've never had braces. My teeth are real.
You never had braces?
No.
Damn, look at those things, dude. Those I are guess like
my bottom teeth are a little fucking.
Nah, dude, you got fucking that crowded. You got that Colgate smile.
Yeah.
Damn. Anyways.
Yeah. That was from Lander, wasn't it?
Nah, I got a few of them from some guys, man. Tell us, what makes you fall in love with a girl? Like, what is a girl got to have going on for you, the Frank the Tank, to fall in love?
She got to be smart, man.
Yeah, well, smart. Hang on, wait. Do you mean smart like, hey, she can be smart, like book smart, and make a lot of money in her job or in her career? Or does she have to be, like, street smart and just get by?
She's got to be intellectual.
Okay. All right, that's smart. Yeah.
There are plenty of hot women out there, but you got to be able to hold a conversation.
Right, right.
You have to have more to offer than just the look.
That's true. That's definitely, you know what I mean? Like, what's that saying? You got to be a lady in the streets, but a freak in the bed.
That doesn't have anything to do with intellectual, but yeah.
Hey, well, that's my shit. I mean, I'm just saying, if somebody answered my shit, you know what I mean? Answer, you know?
You got to be a white claw in the streets and a Four Loko in the sheets.
Oh, shit, that's a pleblo in you, bro.
Hey. Hey, you remember those sparks?
Yeah. Those energy beers? Hell yeah.
Those would make a motherfucker fight.
Oh, dude, they would get you amped, dude.
Yeah.
Amped. Alcohol and like, well, back in the day, I used to run a supplement store. We'd pop ephedrine pills, right? Be up. Heart would be locked. Brrr. Alcohol, drink all night. But you'd be fucked up, right?
Getting fucking wild. Yeah,
just probably wanted to wild, fight. Like, just like, I've never done coke, but goddamn, dude, that's what I bet it's like.
That's probably fucking over-the-counter coke.
Oh, dude, I was...
Yeah, ephedrine's illegal now, isn't it?
Yeah, they quit distributing it. Like, that's why my business closed, bro. Like, diet pills.
Hey, yeah.
Like, that shit was... people would lose so much weight off that ephedrine. Hydroxycut, Xenadrine, yeah. There was all kinds of shit with that ephedrine, and you would just get ripped up on it, dude. I mean, I would...
They still make hydroxycut, don't they?
Yeah, but ephedrine. It's all, like, fucking... You know, just herbs and shit, like, you know, caffeine and shit, you know. It's not like ephedrine. If it had ephedrine in it, dude, that shit was
crazy.
There was this shit that I used to take called thermbuterol. And, dude, I'm telling you, you took a freaking – I would, like, work out. This is, like, when I was, like, MMA training, dude. There was one time where I thought my heart was going to explode out of my chest, dude. It was so crazy, dude. I was like, I had to quit taking it. Like, I understand why they quit selling that shit, because, I don't know, he was nuts, dude. Nuts. But, yeah, dude, that Ephedrine shit is some fucked up shit, dude. And alcohol? Dude, you're in for a long night. Next question is, where do you see yourself in 10 years, Frank?
10 years. And that's something I've thought about a little bit recently, and I feel like I've put in a lot of work so far, so I would like to still be there, hopefully in some position of higher leadership, being able to provide my coworkers with someone to go to look to for guidance, and hopefully helping to provide assistance with a successful business.
I think it's very, very fair to say, like, you, when you started, like, I didn't know this, like, you started at the bottom and you eventually worked yourself up and got yourself the role where you're at now. And so, like, I think people and employees could probably relate to that, like, oh shit, like, this guy actually been where I've been, and he hops in and still does what I do. Obviously, like you said, you still hop in, you do a lot of things here and there. So I think they could probably relate to you. So, I mean, as an employee, I would be a lot easier to talk to you. You know, I would think, I don't know. That's cool. That's definitely a cool answer. I'm glad that, you know, I mean, that just shows you a lot about the company, that you would like to be there still in 10 years, unless you win that lotto. And then you'd be like, shit, I'm gone.
I haven't played the lotto in fucking 4 years.
Yeah, dude. I play every once in a while, and I just, you know, every once in a while I get like, congratulations. And I'm thinking, holy shit, I won. You won $12. And I was like, I guess it's cool, you know. I'll buy my snacks. You know.
I fucking forgot the lotto and the Powerball even existed for a while.
Yeah, dude. It's just... yeah, it's crazy. The next question is, what's your dream car, bro? What is it? I know you're rolling around a Stormtrooper 4Runner right now.
Dream car?
Yeah.
Man, I've always thought those trophy trucks are fucking cool. You know, that shit, those off-road, badass, souped-up fucking, like, Ford Raptor type fucking Baja trucks. I've always thought those were
Those are sweet.
Some Dan Bilzerian shit.
Yeah, dude. He has some cool shit, dude. Yeah, I mean, he just has everything cool. Yeah, definitely.
Fucking cool.
Let me ask you this right now. If you had a choice, right? If you had a choice to hunt Alaska, Canada, or the Yukon Territory, Africa, where would it be?
What was it? Alaska and what? Yukon or
the Yukon or Africa?
Probably the Yukon, I think.
The Yukon.
I don't really, personally, I don't necessarily have much aspiration to go to Africa. Seems like a lot of hassle to get over there, a lot of logistical.
I think it would be cool to go to Africa, just to say I went to Africa and seen like it really Africa, like.
I've heard everyone said it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool as fuck. And like, you know, it's like, I don't know, it's high fence. Here's the thing with my deal is you can't bring back any of the meat. Can't bring back, you know, all you're bringing back is the head. So you're just a trophy hunter over there. Right. So that to me, that's the downfall of the whole deal, but I would love the experience. I would, you know, like I'd rather go to Texas. Pretty much same fucking experience. Get to see all those animals.
Shoot a Texas doll.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, here's the thing. Like, at least I get to bring back the meat. You know what I mean? I mean, that's... at least I get to fucking kill an animal that I bring back and fill my freezer up. That cost me just as much as a hunt in Africa. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. That's a good debate. Like, I don't know. I think it'd be cool as fuck to go... over there and shoot some things. Like, I don't know, man, it'd be different, you know. I definitely want to do it, but I don't see it anytime soon in my future.
Yeah, I think just the vast wilderness of Canada, and I've never been to the Yukon, I guess, but the stories I've heard of just being out there in the middle of nowhere,
yeah,
the animals and all that, it's kind of almost like a last frontier. Alaska is the same too, man. I mean, that the guide that I was with, Jimmy, he was the head guide on the hunt, and he brought up a good point when we were out there, and he said that when we were on this goat hunt, that was the only place that he'd personally hunted where you couldn't walk out, because, you know, we're on the coast, so you can't, you know, you can't walk out through the water. And then if you try to go inland, it was just nothing but a glacial mountain peak type mountain range. So, you know, we're on the coastal mountain range, and it was fucking gnarly straight up and down. And then the further you go inland, it was all fucking gnarly glaciers and crazy peaks. So I think even Alaska or the Yukon would be awesome because of how minute you feel when you're out there.
Yeah. My shit is, I want to go to Alaska to hunt caribou. I don't know why. I think caribou would be sweet. And I would love to shoot one with my bow, but like, if I go to Alaska, I want to harvest something. You know what I mean? Like, that's a lot of money, and, you know, it just time away from the family. It's like, I gotta bring back something. So I have no problem shooting something with the gun. And like, that would be something I would like to do, is with the caribou. Honestly, I want to do caribou. Yeah. Big ass Alaska moose, dude. Oh fuck, those things are huge, dude. Huge.
I think that's a good point you bring up is, I don't, man, it seems like, you know, being on the inside looking out, being on the inside of the outdoor industry, seems like there's so much division between hunters on dumb stuff like the weapon you use to kill something. Oh, that guy killed that with a gun, or that guy killed that with a compound bow, or that guy killed that with whatever, or he killed a small buck, or he killed a small bull. I think a lot of the time, and I've been guilty of the same thing of saying dumb shit like this, but the more I think about it, it's like, does it really matter what someone killed, what you killed your elk with, or what you killed your buck with, or if it was a doe? You kind of got to think back of why you're hunting. Well, are you hunting for fame? Are you hunting for attention? Are you hunting because you like to hunt? It doesn't matter if you use a gun. It doesn't matter if you use a bow. Because at the end of the day, no one's going to fucking remember what you use to kill what animal. You should do it because you love it.
Right.
I've definitely been, I was thinking about this not too long ago, but I remember a friend said, yeah, this guy killed a buck. And I'm like, well, it was a small one. He was like, why the fuck does that matter? And I'm like, damn, dude, you're right. It doesn't. And I think that's what a lot of people lose sight of is,
well, it
doesn't fucking matter, man. There's too much division on between hunters. We should all try to be united as possible, even though I know there's a lot of shit talking that goes back and forth in the hunting industry, which is dumb, but I think we kind of lose sight a lot of the
it is, and there's times for like playing around like with your friends and shit, like, you know, you people that you know it has thick skin and or who you joke around with, but like realistically it don't fucking matter, right? Like the people that are like, oh, I'm anti-gun, or I'm just all bow hunting, bye Felicia. That's what I say. You know what I mean?
Waiting to press that.
Yeah, I honestly, like, I really don't care, like, how you harvest the animal. I'm happy for you. You know what I mean? Like, because they pick up a fucking rifle doesn't mean that they're going to get one. I mean, your fucking success rate should be fucking way higher. But, I mean, it's still hunting. You know what I mean? Like, you got to still place the shot. So, I don't know. It's always debate, and I don't know. Me personally, I don't care. I like seeing people have success and have a good time. You know what I mean? I like having a good time at camp. I like having my freezer full. I like having fun with my friends, whatever, you know?
Yeah, if you personally like the challenge, and that's awesome. If you like to go with a more difficult weapon, or if you like the rifle, on it's fucking awesome, man. Just fucking do it for you is probably what I would say. Do it for you, and think about why you started hunting. And I mean, the end goal is to have meat in the freezer, I think, for a lot of people. Not everybody, you know, there are some trophy hunters out there, but I mean, I like having fucking meat in the freezer. So.
Yeah, right on. I mean, that's it. You said it right there. I don't know, Frank, man. We've been talking for a minute, man. It's good. I always love rapping with you. I mean, I don't get to come down to the shop anymore and see you so much because we've been on lockdown, but I think it's going to let go here pretty soon. Hopefully all this will go away. But in the meantime, everybody stay safe. You know what I mean? I got to give a big shout out to my boys at Cafaro, you know, Gear for Life. You know him from right here, Frank right here. Frank the Tank, he's the man, right?
Yeah, gotta thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, I love it. Hey, tell him, where can people find you at?
So if you want to find Cafaro International, it's Cafaro.net, at Cafaro_INTL, and then my personal page, Tor_life_. Yeah, man, thanks for having me on, and thanks for supporting Cafaro as long as you have, and being a good friend, and glad to know you.
Yeah, man, it's definitely been a pleasure. Just even going out shooting with you in the 3U range, it's been good. Got to give a big shout out to my boys at Tidal Knives, Ultra Light, Ultra Sharp. Yeah, you know them, right? Yeah, Frank knows them.
Yeah, Luke Johnson. Yep.
Yep. And guys, if you haven't checked out Leopold Optics, please do check them out. Give them a follow on the IG. We're all big fans here.
Shout out to Reza.
Yeah, Reza, what up? Hey, and listen, guys, this has been a company that's been there from day one. Listen, Grip Tech. Yes, yes, yes. That's my dog. That's my jam.
You got Josh, yeah. Butch, Justin. I see Bam's working with him now.
Oh shit, yeah. I gotta get Bam on this. I'm gonna get the Grip Tech guys on here. But yeah, dude, the Grip Tech guys been there from day one. Guys, give them a follow, buy from them online right now. Okay? Hey, we out of this bitch. Thank you.